What's up, champs? Welcome to another episode of the Short Shifts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Keeping Carlson. I'm your host, Jeremy Versillo. Joining me tonight, my pal and yours, Shams Benamor. Shams, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm just happy that we have a normal fantasy week. I was talking to Lewis on the Discord, and it was like, just hit me. I'm literally not sitting a single person in Kickuffle this whole week, which is literally the complete opposite of last week. So anytime I see a person score, I can actually just be happy and not have to remind myself, wait, did I decide to bench him last second or not? Back to normal. Happy to see it.
Yeah, those Thanksgiving and some of the other holiday-type weeks or the 32 teams playing in one day, those are always really frustrating. I've said many times that I am a quantity over quality fantasy player. My goal is to not bench any points ever, even if it costs me a slightly better streamer for a slightly worse streamer. And sometimes you can't do that, and it makes me mad. But back to things that won't make us mad, such as fantasy hockey. Let's talk about an outjury. Drew Doughty is returning after seemingly no warning. I think he showed up in practice yesterday and is ready to go today. We don't know if he's going to be on power play one or if Brent Clark is going to stay there like Tuesday or if they'll go back to five forwards. Anything of note here, Shams?
For me, and this is maybe just the pessimist of me in Jim Hiller, is that like I have a feeling is that if we're going to stay with the one defenseman power play, even if it's not today, they might stick with Brent Clark. We're recording this before, so we don't know what happened. But even if it's Brent Clark, I literally would put a doomsday clock for just when Doughty's coming in, because it's just like he's basically the team's favorite son. They're not going to leave him off. Like, it was actually miraculous for the five forward power play to keep on going without Doughty on it. But if they're playing a defenseman, just this is 100% a vibe sync with the coach. I would expect sooner rather than later, if it doesn't happen tonight, that Doughty takes that spot.
Unfortunately, I think you're kind of right. Personally, I think they need to be saving Drew Doughty's legs, given that he's just been injured and is getting older, and they have aspirations to a playoff run. And who knows, maybe Team Canada will take him because they need some more grit on the Olympic roster. I really hope they don't. Even as an American, I do not want to see Drew Doughty playing in the Olympics. Sorry, Drew. Next up, Shams, you've got some updates for us on some Columbus Blue Jackets injuries. What's going on there?
So the big news is that Marchenko is back and they have the normal setup line of, I guess normal now with Monahan demoted to the second line. We have the Fantilli, Voronkov, Marchenko line. So hopefully now with all three back, we can actually see them back to normal. And also on the second line for now, we have Monahan, Kent Johnson, and Sillinger. And right now we'll have to wait to see is that Bujetter is practicing, but he's not ready to come back. And then also we have Luca Pinelli, who was playing some top 6 minutes, sent back to Cleveland. So I think it's, even if he was playing well, I feel like as they get healthy, they're just going to stick with their guns and then probably we'll need another set of injuries to see him come back.
I think the Pinelli send back means that Jenner is ready almost imminently. I was a bit surprised they didn't put Boone Jenner in today. I suspect Boone slots into the top six as a winger with Fantilli and Monahan as the forwards. So that'll cost either Sillinger or Johnson their spots. Moderately interesting fantasy guys. I don't think you need to be holding Sillinger or Johnson, even as second liners. Next up, a day-to-day injury for Scott Wedgwood. It sounds like he worked out this morning, could play on the road trip. I think his back tightened up mid-game on his last start, and he got pulled because of it. Doesn't sound too serious. Am I missing the mark there?
Yeah, I think it's just one of those situations where you have a team with one regulation loss. Well, it might be two by the end of this recording, but like a team doing so well, there's no reason to take risks. So we'll see how it goes on this weekend. But this is not like a Dostal situation where we're already hearing 2 to 3 weeks. This could be over by the end. So like if you have either like put Wedgwood in your IR and just kind of play with the expectations coming back this weekend, and then Blackwood, he might get an extra game here or there, maybe depending on like they might not rush into a 50-50 once he's back to play safe, but not too much change for now.
No, and I think they have a back-to-back this weekend, so if Wedgwood is ready, I suspect he'll get one of those two games, and you're back to the 50-50 split. Hot off the presses, Shane Pinto left the Senators game today and will not be returning. Dylan Cousins is back on power play one because of it. Not good. Hopefully Shane Pinto's okay. He's been a bit of a hot waiver wire fantasy darling this year. Some other injuries. There's some injuries out of Washington. Justin Sortif is injured with a lower body injury. That's probably a name you haven't heard much since this is the first year he's really done anything. He was centering their second line, but not really doing much with it. John Carlson is also out with an upper body injury. And have we heard anything about that, Shams? I haven't.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing is that they have said nothing even after the game. They gave an update on Sortif saying it's not long-term. So basically radio silence on Carlson. So hopefully if it was, this is just me, you know, pontificating is that if it was something major, we would have heard maybe like IR placement or calling people up and stuff like that since it's silent. So hopefully it's a short-term thing. And then also on the Sortif side, even though he may not be a important fantasy player, the interesting thing that came out of this is that Connor McMichael took that second line and is now playing with Protas and Wilson. So even though he got kicked off of the first line, we now have Nick Dowd coming back as well to center that third line. So that allows McMichael to play at the top six. And then right now, this is the spot for him with Sortif being injured.
Yeah, and that's been kind of a fluid situation all year, kind of moving around the middle six pieces in Washington. Some questionable fantasy production from some guys. We'll actually talk about another Washington middle sixer in a little bit. What do you have from us out of Philadelphia? There was a few injuries there, too.
So this is just a shame. It was the weirdest injury I've ever seen is that Tyson Forrester was just playing. I think he took like a slap shot and then he just like ended up injuring his shoulder and is now out 2 to 3 months. And the big thing was, is that maybe you weren't paying attention to him, but like the interesting thing is if I remember correctly, he was leading the team, if not like one of the top players of getting goals this season. So he was really hot on that part. So that is a big loss for them. And then on top of that, at a lesser extent, Cam York is out with day to day. So I wouldn't worry too much with that. So the interesting thing is with Forster out, we kind of now have, in my opinion, two lines instead of three. We have a top line, in my opinion, whatever Konecny and Zegras will be, is the top line, centered by Dvorak. And then the second line is Mishkov and Tippett being centered by Couturier. And then you have Cates playing with Brink and Gaberkin. So set, like, maybe I would say that they trust Cates that maybe it won't be like a pure third line minutes, but I believe that we have now a more defined top six because of this injury.
Good call out on Forrester having been actually really good this year. He has 10 goals in 21 games, which is a 40 goal pace almost. And I believe last year he had 25, but I also think those were kind of backloaded where he had a really hot end to the season and kind of picked up the pace. He also is a guy who constantly receives praise from the coaches and the media out of Philly. He's a very underrated, like, just all around good player. Maybe not the greatest fantasy asset, but yeah, he's been really good. Next up, we have some updates out of Dallas. Unfortunately, Tyler Seguin tore his ACL, or maybe I don't think it was tore ACL. It's an ACL injury, but he's out long term. I think it was basically the rest of the season for fantasy. And Matt Duchene is apparently out short term, but not really. That Duchene situation is frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. I believe it's been quote day to day for effectively a month or more. And then if I remember correctly, I think there's been like some mentioning of like, I think we got to the part where it might be a situation where it's like cardio, like he's been out for so long that he may be getting ready for that. So hopefully, like, basically for me, until I see him in a game, I'm just like not really paying too much attention. And then the interesting thing is that I guess, well, it's interesting and not interesting at the same time, is that if you What wide's your guess that came out of this with Sagan out is what happened. Good old Sam Steele is back on the top wide with Johnston and Rantanen. And then we also have the second wide of Ben Hinson Robertson, which has been sticking ever since he's been healthy. So it's a shame because Sagan was playing pretty well. And then right now, to my understanding, it's effectively out for the most likely for the fantasy season. Because I think the only thing left now is the question is, do they want to put him in that special LTIR spot that they could use his whole salary? Or if they're going to be putting him in that other LTIR where they can only use a portion. So if we're in that kind of conversation, I'm not banking at any return. So if you're in a situation where you're filled with your IR spots and then you have some people with actually like a chance to come back, I would be probably put into a situation where I would be open to just like letting them go if you have an overflowing IR situation.
I think that's right. On the flip side, Duchesne is someone I've been looking to pick up and stash in my IR for multiple weeks now, and I just haven't had a week where I was comfortable making that move near the end of the week. But yeah, Duchesne, I think at this point, one of the things that concerns me is the last quote from the coach was that he needs progressing, but he needs to stack a bunch of good days together, which makes it sound like sometimes he gets off the ice and is a little sore, or it's something that's lingering or not fully healed. And that's never a good thing with an athletics injury. I worry that even if he comes back, he's going to be on and off the injured list for the whole season. And honestly, maybe he needs a conditioning stint, but maybe he would just potentially aggravate something during that. Yeah, that's not good for Dallas. I don't think you need to keep him on the forefront of your mind for fantasy at this point. I'm ready to move on. If you're holding him and you need the extra IR spot, he'd be one of the first guys I cut just because I'm concerned he's not going to stay healthy. Last but not least, we have a couple more injury timelines on Pittsburgh. Justin Brazeau and Noel Achari are both 7 to 10 days out. Achari's not fantasy relevant, but I guess good to see the whole picture. Brazeau was really good in the first 3 weeks of the season before he got hurt, but he was also shooting close to 30%. He was playing with Malkin and Mantha, I believe. I think he's going to be not as good as what he was before, but fringe fantasy relevant. So he's worth keeping an eye on if he's in your IR. And then Rickard Rakell is apparently still 3 to 4 weeks out. That's a long injury. I forget what the quote was originally, but that feels like a long time.
Yeah, and one thing I'll add is that maybe this is me just being wishful, but I do remember just that Malkin, Brazeau, Mantha line working really well. So, like, this is just kind of maybe a hope of, like, sure, there's going to be some regression, but I would still be interested in that because, like, while Malkin has been doing a decent amount, he's kind of cooled off on himself. So it'll be interesting to watch that, to see how that goes going forward. Then also, just kind of to jump in as well, is that we have some breaking news from Short Shift's familiar of hosts. We got Derek coming in and giving us information is that as we're recording the show, Joseph Wohl has actually left the game and is reported not to return. It doesn't seem too serious, and they are leading 4-1, so it could just be a precautionary thing, but this is just something to keep an eye out, you know. Keep an eye out on game day tweets. We're not going to have any information right now, but with Stolarz out and now Wall potentially injured, this is going to be a situation where Hildeby, who has, you know, he's not, you know, going for a Vezina, but he hasn't been like sticking it up with like, you know, some of the goalies we see, you know, your Biddingtons or your, you know, other kind of coaches or goalies. So maybe this is a situation where if you're in one of those leagues where you're kind of in a situation where every single goalie's snatched up, maybe you take a chance on him. But in most cases, just kind of pay attention to the news and we'll see what happens long term.
And I don't think Stolarz is out particularly like long term. So, you know, maybe the Hildeby is a couple game ad if he even gets a start or two. I thought the coach had said he was going to get one of the next two games anyway. So you can probably pencil him in for a start on their next game, which I'm assuming is going to be Saturday. With that, let's go to a quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
turkey, touchdowns, and takes. It's Thanksgiving, and the action doesn't stop at the dinner table. Feast on some winnings this holiday with Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats. It's that simple. Pick 6 brings you upside those other pick'em sites can't touch. The better you perform, the bigger your payout, and it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5 and get $50 in Pick 6 credits. Make the call, ride the upside in partnership with DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable. Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Limited time offer. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Rakuten, use them to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's saving on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list, from toys for the kids to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love and cash back is automatically added to your account, and you can choose to get paid via Interac, e-transfer, PayPal, or check. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to rakuten.ca, download the app or install the browser extension. That's r-a-k-u-t-e-n. Spells Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everyone. We've got a handful of hot cold streaks for you to talk our way through. Matvei Michkov is our first hot streak. He started the season quite cold, but has been significantly better as of late. He has 6 points in his last five games, 3 shots per game for 15 shots over that span. The ice time and power play deployment are still a bit iffy. Are you still interested? Does the Forster injury maybe make you even more interested in this too?
I think this might be just a situation is that, like, yes, I know he's a big name player and we kind of expected everything from him like day one, but keep in mind, this is literally his like second year. He's still growing. I would be fine just living with the lumps. And like, I don't have the exact quotes in front of me, but I remember seeing this morning through a translator, he's kind of just saying like, oh, maybe he's like learning to prepare better. He might like plan to stay with the team over the summer. Like, I think this is just kind of a situation where just a young player is growing into a position and just kind of going with the lumps. And with these points coming in now, it just makes sense. We knew he had the skill, and this is just kind of a young NHL player just blossoming into the league. So, now, obviously, as we mentioned, you know, this is Philly, so it's not a, you know, offensive powerhouse, but they do have, even with Forrester leaving, they still have Zegras, they still have, you know, Tippett and Konechny. Like, they still have offensive players, so this is something where I would be happy to, like, say if you're in a shallow league, like, I'm in a shallow league, I believe he's a free agent. Like, I'd be interested to possibly pick him up. Now, most leagues are not that shallow, but like, if you're in a situation with like a one league or a, you know, a redraft league, I might be tempted to sniff around. And if the person on the other side might be in a situation that they think they're selling high, but you might be getting something now, it might blow up in your face with, you know, Rich Tocchet. You never know how the lines are going to be, but this is something where I feel like there is upside, and this is something that could sustain.
I'm less sure of that. I do like him long-term as just a really good player. I'm actually a bit surprised that he's 100% owned in Kakupful, because multiple people have been asking me if he's drop-worthy, like, for the past month, I'd say. I'm amazed nobody's dropped him in Kakupful yet, or he's been added by everyone who's dropped him. But yeah, it's a good sign, though, that he's starting to heat up. Speaking of streaky players, though, on the cold side, Pavel Dorofeev has 1 assist in his last 6 games and only 12 shots. He's just like a streaky player. I remember last year it was super streaky, very power play dependent. At least he's getting that power play deployment, and Vegas is running their top unit 75 or 80% of the time. Even strength lines have shuffled him to the third line occasionally. Anything actionable here, or just a frustrating player to own?
I think effectively everyone except Eichel is like a frustrating player. Like you see situations with like Martyr has like, you know, a couple of assists and like a goal, but like he's not shooting too much. He might give you like a random block. Like I think this whole team, other than basically Martyr right now, or sorry, other than Eichel, it's just going to be a hot and cold situation and just kind of hope for the best. Is that like it was, I think we all got excited with the start of the season when that power play was just on fire. But right now, I think we're kind of settling into the concern of we have three lines now, even if we don't have three centers to support it, because we just have enough wingers and they seem to be interested in having Bowman on the top line. And a power play that's regressed to something of normalcy. So this is just something we're just going to have to kind of live with. And I'm not sure unless they decide to stack lines or if the power play gets really hot again that we're going to be seeing too much more out of this, like, in a consistent basis.
I was trying to look it up while you were talking and didn't quite get to it, but I thought the power play's actually been a bit better since Mark Stone came back, and he was kind of the centerpiece of the original power play hot streak. I mean, every goal was that set play to the middle with Stone making the tap pass. So hopefully it looks a bit better now that Stone's back in the mix. And yeah, I do think they are spreading the love a bit on their lines, but I think you've got some pretty good players there, and Dorofeev's worth owning. I'd rather Dorofeev to Michkov, if that's a comparison you're interested in making. Next up, we've got a hot streak from Ryan Leonard. He had four points last night, 2 goals and 2 assists on 6 shots. He also had assists in the 3 games previous to that. All in all, he's looking a bit more consistent as a young guy, and he's now on the top power play. I'm still dropping him after this weekend, though, because he's only playing 2 games next week. But it's a name to keep your eye on if this streak continues. How do you feel about him?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it like next week is going to be difficult, as you said, with the schedule. But in general, you know, if your league supports being able to keep third line players, and if those kind of situations where a third line player could be rostered, and I understand the power play is a nice big bonus here, is that this is probably one of the best versions of those players. But depending on the situation where I was talking about a home league where, you know, Michkov is on the wire, maybe you might be in a situation where I would be taking more of the sure guns on the, you know, top line, top power play kind of guy. But in your deeper leagues, sans the schedule, this is someone that I would be probably keeping a strong eye on or keeping at the bottom of my roster already.
I guess that's fair. I just don't see it sustaining with the ice time he's been getting. That's my big problem with him. Next up, a cold streak, though, from Zach Hyman. Unfortunately, in the 8 games since his return to action, he's looked more like 24-25 Zach Hyman than 23-24 Zach Hyman. He's only got 4 points in 8 games, 2.3 shots per game. He does have 25 hits in 8 games, but that's buoyed by the fact that he had 11 in his first game back. I think it'll get a little bit better, but I'm not expecting him to be fantasy gold. Are you?
I think this is just going to be one of those situations. You drafted him. He's not in a position where I would be considering him dropping. And the interesting thing is that they are starting to stack the top line as much, excluding having Draisaitl on the top line. They have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, McDavid, and Hyman together. So hopefully, you know, we go through the scheduled, you know, first few months of cold streak of the whole Edmonton team, and then hopefully they could kind of pick it up, and then that line could kind of take it together. But this is one of those situations where, you know, I'm not saying it's the same, but it's kind of like the people that had Ovechkin early in the season when he was in his cold streak. Is like, we know he has the skill, we know it's not great right now, but I'm not just going to like jump ship on like just any cheap return, because there's the skills there. There's players around him. You just kind of cross your fingers and hope for it.
That's fair. I think you do have to treat it as a guy at the start of the season. You know, you give your first, you know, 100 players off the draft board a pretty long leash at the start of the season. And Zach Hyman certainly would have been that if he were fully healthy. So let them work out the kinks. Hopefully he keeps his McDavid deployment, his power play one. And who knows, maybe you can buy low on it if you see someone else panicking. Another hot streak Steven Stamkos has shown signs of life recently, as have the Preds as a whole. They had a 5 or 6 goal game earlier this week. Stamkos, though, has 5 points in his last 4 games, only 7 shots, though, and kind of iffy power play deployment. For the season, he's getting unlucky on assists, only a 6.5% 5v5 on ice shooting percentage, a 52.6 IPP, and a 28.6 power play IPP. But a lot of the numbers actually look in line with last year's averages in Nashville, as opposed to his career average in Tampa. I think it's kind of time to accept that Stamkos is just a guy on Nashville. Are you hoping for a bigger bounce back than I am?
I think I'm in the same boat. Effectively, like everyone, like maybe, like I haven't looked into Saros's and Yossi's numbers, but like effectively those would be the only two, just because of A, Saros gets all the starts and, you know, I remember Yossi of old, maybe I'm clicking onto that, but like literally anyone else other than those two, I'm like jumping onto the hot streak and then willing to leave. Like, for example, someone else, his actual line mate on line one, Luke Evangelista, I have him on my roster, but like if he has like a 3 or 4 game cold streak, I'm just fine booting him. Or if, say, you told me next week, oh, he actually has only 2 games, I'm not having any hesitation to drop them. And then if I see they're doing something interesting later down the road, I'd be like, sure, I'll ride it. But at no point am I holding any of these players dear and like saying, like, I'm basically looking for a reason to keep them versus a reason to cut them, if you know what I mean.
I agree. I think Yossi, Forsberg, and Saros, depending on your goalie settings, are the only Preds worth rostering. And yeah, they're just a team that's rough to watch in general. Speaking of teams that are rough to watch, let's go to a Seattle Kraken player. Vince Dunn has been very cold lately. He has 1 point in his last 7 games play. Nothing in his numbers really show him as underperforming. The Kraken are just so bad offensively this year by advanced metrics that he's probably just a 45-point defenseman, even with power play one. The Kraken are last in goals for, and even more impressive, they're last in expected goals for, by 11.5 goals, expected goals. The difference in their expected goals between Seattle and 31st place, which is St. Louis, is the same as the difference between 31st place St. Louis and 13th place New Jersey. Like, they're bringing up the rear with a ton of space. So your offensive players from Seattle, not looking great. Joey Decord has held that team together on his back for the beginning of the season, and it's not looking so hot tonight. What Kraken players are you rostering rest of season?
So, basically, if McCann keeps shooting, maybe I'll be fine with keeping him. And this is going to be the interesting test, is that I actually took the plunge on Jordan Eberle just because he's going to be playing with McCann on the top line, top power play. And also, they have 4 off-night games next week. But as we were joking before the show, is that this might be a situation where, like, I might drop, like, Eberle on, like, Monday or Wednesday next week, depending on just how they play. It's, like, one of those situations where, hey, they were playing well at one point. Maybe I catch lightning in a bottle, and I'd be happy, but I have 2 moves left this week. Hell, I could be off of Eberle before even next week starts.
Same. I'm ready to move off of any Kraken player on a 3 or 2 game week, or like a bad 3 game week or a 2 game week. Just, I watch way too many of those games and I am so jaded by how bad the team looks. There's no way they should be in a playoff position right now. And I just hope that the tank turns around hard enough to get them a decent draft pick. Because that would be the worst, getting stuck in the middle after a hot start to the season. Last but not least, I have to throw this hot streak on there. Vladislav Gavrikov has 7 points in his last 7 games played, including a goal tonight. He has decent hits and blocks. Is this guy your Adam Fox replacement?
Like, pseudo, like, yes in name, but not in purpose, basically, because they do have the 5-forward power play, but like, he literally, like, this is a game where they won 4-2 that just finished today against Ottawa. they were leading for basically the whole game. He played 25 minutes in that situation. Like, he's going to be getting all the ice time, even though, like, it doesn't happen. Like, basically, he's not taking, like, all the shots. He's not, like, a Faber when he was on that hot streak, or the thing is. But this is kind of the situation where if you're fine with zeros here or there, is that he's the kind of person that's just going to be on the ice just so much. There's, you know, it hasn't been firing all the time, but they do have the offensive talent that he might be able to catch an assist just by, you know, dumping it out of the zone and someone picks it up. Or he somehow has, like, a shot. I believe he's, like, one goal off of his career high already, which was set in L.A. So, like, it's one of those things. Is I'm kind of a fan with these players on the ice all the time. I am kind of worried that the last two games he has one shot followed by a zero, a two, and a zero. So, like, this is one of those situations where you're fishing for points and you have to live with the zeros. So, depends on the kind of person you are when you look at your defenseman in fantasy.
I do like his ice time, but yeah, this is a shooting percentage bender if I've ever seen one. He's got four goals in the last seven games on one, two, three, four, five, six, seven shots. Over 50% shooting from a defenseman. You never know. But yeah, I had some fun with that one because we were talking in the short shifts host chat, and I think Elon picked him up this week for a streamer. So congrats to that brilliant move that put a decent number of points on the board already. With that, thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed our show, please consider joining the Keeping Carlson Patreon group at keepingcarlson.com/patron, where super supporters receive ad-free episodes and you can interact with Brian, Elon, the Short Shifts crew, and hundreds of other talented fantasy managers on our active Discord server. Check out www.gamedaytweets.com to get all the best info from Twitter without having to slog through the rest of the place. Includes team by team and searchable tweets by player name. Visit that site and the other great sites we use to research our episodes with at Yahoo, Frozen Tools, and Natural Stat Strip. Our intro and outro music was created by Pat Roach. Until we see you next time, play smart and keep your shifts short.